You are listening to the Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network. Welcome back to another episode of Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama. Today's episode is going to take you out to the ball game. Okay, that's it. That's all the singing I'm going to do, I promise. but it's about our very own minor league baseball team in Madison, the Rocket City Trash Pandas. And joining me today is Ricky Fernandez and Josh Carey. Thanks so much for being with me, guys.
Good to be with you.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, sorry about that singing. I had to, right?
No, no problem. I apologize for the tour I just got here in the press box. I thought people just walked in. I think they're from North Alabama, so we got a little cameo already on the podcast.
Here's what's going to be the fun part. Ricky, I'm actually just a few steps down from you, so we'll find out in just a few seconds if the same crew comes in here. So
that'd be fun.
Yeah. I'll be sure to wave them off, too. Yeah. They're going to have a fun tour.
Like, yeah. They're going to be like, wow, those guys are, welcoming here.
They're really secretive.
I know. I walked right through their meeting in the hallway to get up here, too. It was like they were in the meeting of introductions. It's been a bad morning so far for meeting guests, but it can only go up from here, right?
That's right. Yeah. I know. I start off singing and, you know, had interruptions. So, yeah, it's got to go up from here.
Let's go there.
So before we jump in, all things Trash Pandas, tell us a little bit about yourself, Ricky, and then Josh, you can follow.
All right. My name is Ricky Fernandez. I was born and raised in Madison, Alabama. I did local radio for about 6 or 7 years at WZYP. Got the job here with the team in 2020. So this is now my third year in baseball, and I absolutely love it. It's the best job this is a job I've always wanted. So I'm cool. Living a dream right now.
Cool.
Okay. So, for me, my name's Josh Carey. I'm the team's broadcaster. I grew up in Atlanta, this is for me, my 15th or 16th year in professional broadcasting. I went to school in Atlanta, Georgia. Began my career with the Rome Braves in the South Atlantic League, bounced around a bunch of different places. I've worked in Georgia, Texas, North Carolina, Maryland, most recently I was on Long Island, New York, and now I'm here with the Trash Pandas and been here since 2019. And like Ricky, I've absolutely had a blast and enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah, that is so cool. You both have super fun jobs, and I've seen Ricky in action, so I know he has fun.
Oh, yeah.
And Josh, you're from baseball royalty, as I would like to call it. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your famous family?
Sure. My grandfather is the longtime and late broadcaster, Harry Carey. He was in baseball for over 50 years with the Cubs, Cardinals, A's, and White Sox. Probably most known for the Cubs on WGN back in the 80s and 90s. Dad was with the Braves for 33 years from the 70s to the early 2000s. And my brother Chip is currently with the Braves as their TV broadcaster. So it's quite a background, I guess, and I'm just trying to make my own way.
Yeah, that is so cool. And I grew up a Braves fan, and I've always loved the Cubs. I mean, the lovable losers, right? But no more, right?
Well, this year, not so much. they kind of stink this year.
Well, maybe a few years ago.
A few years ago, they were pretty darn good.
Yeah, so I've listened to a lot of games, you know, called by your granddad and dad and brother. And fun fact, guys, we three have something in common because I used to work for a minor league baseball team, the Columbus Red Sticks, in the South Atlantic League.
Sure, I know Columbus.
So,
Golden Park.
Yep. Yeah. I was there seasons 98, 99, and 2000 before they moved to Ohio. So,
okay.
Yeah, I was the community relations director, so I was in charge of, you know, player appearances, the mascot, Fred Sticks.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I've got some stories about Fred Sticks. Let me tell you. Woo.
That name made me laugh immediately.
That's another episode. This, the Fred Sticks, escapades, you could call it. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. I'm kind of glad I did it in my 20s because I had a lot more energy then. Because as y'all know, the hours are very, very long. Very, very long.
You were not kidding. Yeah. It can be a little bit of a grind during the season.
Yeah, it's like sleeping for days when the team was out of town. You're like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, they'll catch up to you.
I don't know what y'all are talking about. I do all of them, so.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so you travel with the team then, huh? Oh, wow. Yeah.
I do. I do all 138 ball games, but it's all right. It kind of evens out. I get to go see different things. I could stay in a hotel and be on the road and sightsee and do all that stuff too. So it kind of evens out.
Yeah, that is so cool, though. I love that. So you really get to know them. That's
I'm on the bus. I sort of split my travel between the bus and driving by myself. So I get to know the guys a little bit more than maybe some of the other folks in our organization. And we're really lucky. We have a good group of guys this year. They not only play well, but they're a good. They have good personalities and they know how to interact with fans really well. I know Ricky can attest to that too.
Yeah, that's important.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah, it's really cool getting to, and you know, last year it was tough, like for me personally, being on the field, being close to these guys, you know, being our first season back from when COVID canceled everything in 2020, it was tough to kind of get a relationship with the players. So this year's kind of the first time I've got to like meet our guys, get to figure out the personality of the locker room, see what kind of team we have. And Josh is absolutely right. Not only are they're awesome on the field, like they all are, they're unique. They got good personalities. They mesh together. They got leadership in there. It's really cool to be a part of.
Yeah. And that helps. I mean, like being a community relations person, you know, sometimes you'd have players that did not want to do anything. And you're like, look, you know, we've got these appearances, you know, like we need to be in the community. And then some years you would have guys that were like, want to do everything. So I understand that. Well, all right, let's get started. Okay. Ricky, do you want to tell us how the Trash Pandas got its unique name?
I can do that. Yeah, I almost named this organization. I was this close. All right. There was a name the team contest, and it was open to everybody in the area. You go to, I don't even know what the website was at the time. It was like baseballnorthalabama.com because, you know, there was no name yet. So you went there, you submitted names, anybody could do it. And eventually there was a top 10 picked. And then those were voted on, went down to the top 5, then the top 2, and there were events held around town. So it kind of built the momentum of the team before you even knew what the team was. So it was really cool. And it got down to the final 2. It got down to me and the guy that submitted Trash Pandas, and he buried me. He won like 86% to 14. Rocket City Trash Pandas, that was his name. Mm-hmm. And then the community, I mean, they loved it. They voted for it unanimously, and that's how it was decided. The community picked its own name, and we revealed it at Rocket Republic a few years ago, had a big crowd, and Pandamania was born. It was long story short, it was pretty cool, but it was all from here.
Yeah.
What was yours again, Ricky? Thunder Sharks?
The Thunder Sharks. It makes no sense to the local area at all. It doesn't have a cool Marvel movie tie-in like Trash Pandas. I just thought it'd be cool to see a shark that could also harness thunder, which not everybody else thought was cool.
I mean, second, though. It is a cool name, but I got to say it does.
No, we're better off.
A little more with the Trash Pandas. Yeah. Especially since raccoons show up all the time, right?
We had one down by the ballpark the other day. It was hanging out in a tree. It was so cute. And we were like, like, can we get it to come over here? Like, aww, maybe to run on the field during a game. That'd be fun.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, they are everywhere. Cool. Yeah, I'm yet to see a shark yet or any weather-changing animals. I don't know. Still
fun. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I remember that contest. And I remember, you know, some people were just like, oh, my gosh, these names. And I'm thinking, y'all, this is minor league baseball. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be quirky, unusual names, you know. So it's very cool.
You see that theme, like, all throughout minor league baseball. Am I right, Josh? It's like every team is like, bah, bah, Rocket City Trash Pandas, Amarillo Sod Poodles. You know, like, there is a theme to it. You're absolutely right.
Well, yeah. The team he just mentioned, I have two nephews working for them right now. And so there's kind of a thing going on where the minor leagues aren't afraid to do things a little differently. And so it used to be, you know, a team like the Red Sticks, that was just a moniker off of the Red Sox, and yeah, that's all it was. Or the Rome Braves, you knew who they were affiliated with. Now, teams aren't afraid to be very different and goofy and silly. It's all supposed to be family fun and silly in nature anyway. So let's make the names as silly as possible. So yeah, this is just one of them, and I'm sure there will there'll be even more to come. I mean, you look at a lot of these collegiate summer league teams right now, in Virginia and West Virginia, that you'll see some crazy names. There's sock puppets. There's
oh wow.
Yeah, there's a few other ones out there. The Doughboys. You'll see some crazy names as you go throughout the minors,
which makes for some very cool merchandise. Which y'all sold out what, twice before the team ever even took the field? Is that correct?
It was pretty crazy, yeah. Before the team ever played a game, I think we were like number one in merchandise in the league. Yeah. I always heard we were the only team in minor league baseball that required international shipping.
Wow.
Which was like, you know, you see a guy in a picture, he's in front of the Eiffel Tower, and he's like, let's go Trash Pandas. You're like, what? Is this real life? Did that guy just do that? And the next guy, Great Wall of China. Hey, you know, wow. And at this museum and just all over the world. And so, yeah, the merch has been big. And I think it's like Josh was saying with those names, you know, when you get your own unique identity like that, it doesn't matter if you're not from the Rocket City. You see a raccoon in a trash can that doubles as a space shuttle. And you're like, I want that hat. I don't know anything about him, but I know I want that hat.
Yep. Yeah, the mascot is very adorable. It's so cute. I've got a few t-shirts, and so, yeah. You just can't help yourself. It's cute.
You really can't. You really can't.
Now, one thing they really did a nice job of is they did a little – so if you look at our merchandise, you'll find very few items that has the word baseball on it. And that reason why that's so big is you go overseas, say you go to Ireland, you know, they don't know what baseball is over there. All they know is the logo and the name are pretty cool. And so someone from over there takes it and it fits right in with them. They can go to a soccer match with it and everyone thinks it's the coolest shirt. If you take baseball and you put that word in it, I think it kind of devalues the merchandise a little bit. The fact that that word is taken off is really what I think helps drive it from an international standpoint, because it makes it more flexible. So it's been big.
That is really cool. Well, Josh, do you want to tell us about the Trash Pandas, like who they're affiliated with, what level y'all play at?
Sure. We're affiliated with the Los Angeles Angels. We're the AA affiliate for Los Angeles. So the way it works in minor league baseball is really there are four levels of the minors. Technically, there's five. I mean, you do have the lowest level is what they call the complex league. That's where a lot of the American born players start, and they play on these backfields at the spring training sites for their major league team, and basically are introduced, but that it's very loosey-goosey, and you know, a lot of people, they play far fewer games than the rest of the affiliates do. Once you get through there, you play low A ball, high A ball, and as you go up through each level, the competition gets stiffer, you play more games. The competition gets a lot better. Double A, which is where we are, I think is where you start to separate the men from the boys, for lack of a better term. And once you get past double A, triple A is the next step up. Some guys are so good that they wind up skipping triple A altogether and go straight to the majors. We've had that happen a couple of times already. And once you get past triple A, you go straight into the majors. So it's really four different levels of minor league baseball, and we are we're in the upper levels right now at AA.
Well, cool. So how does it feel to see some of, you know, the Angels' top prospects before they make it to the majors? And then, you know, that feeling you get when they do make it.
Well, it's great. I mean, first off, that's what we're here for. It's and I got to remind people this, is that when it comes to our baseball, it's about development first and competition second. And we want to see them win. We want to see them do well. It helps us when the team's winning. but competition is very much secondary to these guys getting better. And so when you see a guy who is able to get up there into the major leagues, and you know that we, the Trash Pandas, were partially responsible for that, yeah, you take a little bit of pride in that. When we saw Reed make his major league debut, Reed Detmers, you know, that was our first guy, and we can't help that. You know, we felt a little bit responsible for that. We had him up on his game up on the video board here at Toyota Field, and we were very proud of that. Chase Silseth this season got called up straight from Double A to the majors, and it was amazing just to think that the week prior he was pitching in our ballpark, and here he is less than a week later pitching at Angel Stadium. So things like that, you realize just how close these guys are to one living a dream, and you also realize just how good they are already at this level, and it makes you appreciate just how talented they are as athletes.
It's funny you bring up Chase Silseth, Josh, because I was a couple weeks ago, I was going to a comedy show in town, and I went to a sports bar beforehand, you know, just, you know, burn a little time before it got started, and I look up at the TV, and there's Chase Silseth, the guy I was talking to in the tunnel a week before about he was wanting to participate in the knockerball contest in between the innings. He's like, when do I get to go in there? I'm like, we'll put you in whenever, buddy, but I think the Angels might have an issue with it. And I look up on the TV, I'm like, hey, you know, on a bump of the guy next to me, hey, look at that. And he's, you know,
All right, thanks, bud.
And I was like a little puppy that saw a dog. I'm like, look. It was so cool. And that's like, you know, you don't get that opportunity all the time. So that was, it really does show you, like, they are that close to living the dream. You know, one day it's a knockerball conversation. The next conversation is like, hey, what are we going to do against the Athletics this weekend?
And it tells you just how young they are, too. You forget these guys, in a lot of ways, they're still kids. You know, Chase was at at this time, he was still at the University of Arizona. I mean, he was still a college kid. And now here he is playing Major League Baseball. And so what's cool about this level is they still want to be out there having fun playing the knockerball competition and running around with the little kids at day camp and, you know, stuff like that. And that stuff is really fun. And then you see them out there striking out major league hitters. It's kind of mind-boggling, but you realize just how, one, talented they are, but two, how quickly they're growing, not just physically, but mentally as well, become professional athletes.
Yeah, that is so cool. You just have that sense of pride of, that's our kids. Our kids are going on, leaving the nest.
Growing up so quick.
Well, Ricky, tell us about some of the cool traditions at Trash Pandas games.
All right. Well, you know, in our year and a half, in our illustrious history as an organization that spans an entire 1.5 seasons, we do have some traditions. You know, it is the Rocket City. So in baseball, you've probably seen a lot of major league teams that do like mascot races. You know, it's big, like caricature style mascots of whatever theme, you know, the team has. Mm-hmm. You know, the Washington Nationals, they do the President's Race. Miller Park in Milwaukee, they got the sausage race, you know, big bratwurst running out there, whatever fits the tone of the team in the area. And of course, we're the Rocket City, so we got the astronaut race. These big headed astronauts come running out the gate every night for a home game here at Toyota Field. And you know, it's Neil, it's Sally, it's Buzz, and Neil, he tends to lose a whole lot, and you know, the fans have realized that, and they really root for him. And sometimes it looks like he's going to do it, and he's almost, and then something gets in the way. And, you know, what are we going to do? So that's always a fun one. Let's see, what are some other? Our fireworks shows are insane. I think it's the best ones I've ever seen.
They're really good.
And I'm not like a huge firework guy. But I am now. All right. I almost fell over the dugout railing the first game I ever saw one here. It was, they're awesome right there. So that's every Friday, Saturday. So I think, you know, a lot of our fans have come to see that. But I think our biggest tradition is just this fan base. I mean, they continue to be the best in this whole Southern League that we play in. I talk to the players, and when they play, you know, whether it's in AAA Salt Lake or, you know, Single A, wherever those two different locations are, when they play at different places, they miss the Rocket City, you know, like they really enjoy playing here. And we were just talking about Chase Silseth and, you know, how the goal is to go to the pros. And of course, you know, that's the dream, but before you get there, like if you have to play anywhere, these guys want to play in the Rocket City because these fans have adopted this team so quickly and they get behind them. And there's, Josh, you've seen it. There's games where we're down like 11 runs. You know, that happens sometime in baseball. You just get smoked some nights. And we'll score one run in the ninth. We're still down by multiple runs. And we score one run, and everyone's like, yeah, woo, let's go. And the lights are flickering, and everything's good. You'd have thought we just won the World Series. Yeah. But we're probably going to lose the game by 10 runs. So I think – and I remember on our opening night, our first game ever, we lost. And I was supposed to go out there afterwards on mic and, you know, get the crowd ready to go for fireworks. And I'm like, we just lost our first game. You know, my work's – this is going to be rough. How am I going to get these people up for fireworks? We just lost our first ever game. And after the final pitch, Pandas lose, everyone stood up and gave a standing ovation. It was like, wow. Yeah, we know we lost, but we got a baseball team now. Like, yeah. Who cares? We're happy, whatever. And it was a beautiful night. So I think – the biggest tradition of all is just this fan base, and it's awesome. And everybody from players to staff to people who come to the game, you know, with family from out of town, realize that, like, this is a different kind of team right here.
Yeah, it's always been packed when I've been there. And even I came to the game where Auburn played because War Eagle went to Auburn. And
I'm not going to say anything.
I got that look, y'all. So just so you know, we know what kind of fan he is then.
not going to say anything.
But I remember Butch Thompson saying that, you know, it was maybe even a better atmosphere than Auburn. And I thought, whoa, wow, that is saying something. So it's that same energy, you know, at the Trash Pandas games too. So that's really cool.
Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, it really is the SEC mentality. I mean, that's what they have. They take that, what they take in Tuscaloosa and Auburn, and they bring it to the ballpark. Sometimes it gets a little rowdy. I think Ricky can attest to that. Sometimes the fans get, they get a little excitable, but it happens. But you know what? That's what makes it it makes it all the more fun. They do get on the opposing players quite a bit, and it makes it all the more enjoyable, especially on Facebook and Twitter and all the social media postings and things like that. Guys really get into it.
Yeah, do a little trash talking. Sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry.
It was there for you. I had to do it.
So what do you think then, with it being a fairly new team, do you think that sets this apart from the other teams, other than the fans? You mentioned the fans. Is there anything else that you think sets the Trash Pandas apart?
I know personally, like, you know, growing up in this area and growing up and going to Huntsville Stars games, you know, all as a little kid all the way through college, I remember as a little kid, you know, like going to see Michael Jordan, it being like a real awesome atmosphere, kind of like what it is right now. And then fast forward to when I was in college, there's maybe 200 people in the ballpark, and they're there because there's $2 hot dogs. You know, they're not in really the game, whatever. Hey, there's a game going on? Oh, cool. I didn't even know they played sports. I thought they just had hot dogs. So that was kind of a bummer, you know, and you think like, man, why, you know, why can't Huntsville have something cool? Like, you see these other cities and on these other teams, and it looks like they're having so much fun. And then you come there and you're like, man, this doesn't feel the same. And then the team moves away. Then you think, we'll never get it back again. And when it finally did, I think everyone was like, this is our chance to redo it. Like, to get back to the glory days, to finally have a baseball team, get that big city feel again. And I think everyone's kind of ran with it. A lot of people were skeptical talking to me. They're like, you think a baseball team's going to work here? And I said, I do. I think if that team cares and the community sees that, they're going to be right back and they're going to be in for it. And I think everyone realizes that now, and they're already bought in. And I don't know if there's a lot of other teams that kind of have it set up that way. You know, maybe it's their first ever team, or maybe the team's been there forever and the fans are a little complacent. I don't know. But I think that time not having baseball kind of made everybody appreciate it a little more.
Yeah. How many years had baseball been gone from Huntsville?
They left in 2014, and then our first season was 2021, so it was like 6 or 7 years.
Wow. Yeah, that is a long time.
And then the last few years were, like I said, were, you know, it's, there's no one there.
And y'all do a lot of other cool things too, because, you know, we know 2020 was, like your t-shirts say, just trash. And but y'all did fairs at the ballpark, you did movies at the ballpark. So I think that was a really good way too to invest in the community for people to see, like, okay, it's more than just baseball out here.
Right. Yeah, I know that was a big part of the deal that, you know, when the team came here, it's like, this isn't just going to be a baseball team. This is going to be a place that is used year round. And
yeah.
Yeah. When your first season gets canceled, it's like, what do you do?
Yeah.
What are we going to do? Show some old highlights on Twitter? We don't have any old highlights. What are we going to do? Josh, do you know how to dance? Yeah. Can we do some music videos? What are we going to do, man?
Certainly can't dance. But, you know, what was cool about it was it gave us an opportunity to kind of look at what we could do and what worked and what didn't work. You know, we did a ton of events and most of them were a success. There were some that didn't, you know, quite go up to par. But the point is, we were able to see what worked and what didn't. And now during the off season, we can take what worked and put it to use during the course of the year. I mean, this was always meant to be a 24/7, 365 facility anyway. And so the whole purpose is to let the community know that, you know, baseball may be the main tenant, but this is really supposed to be something that's used for just about everything. I mean, we're going to have a football game here in the fall. We obviously have the Christmas festival every year. We do a beer and wine fest every year. We do
5Ks.
Yeah, all that stuff. So, I mean, this really is a community enterprise that's supposed to serve as an anchor to something even bigger known as Town Madison. So that's what we really tried to get out there until we could get baseball back, was show what this place is capable of outside of baseball. And we did that.
Yeah, that's cool. I love the Christmas lights. I love driving through that. It's so cool.
It really is. It's something to see when you're passing by on 565 too, and you look to your right, and it's like, whoa, that is a full-on winter wonderland over there.
Yeah. You almost get as excited just driving by and seeing it. You're like, oh, look. You know, you're like, okay, I've driven by that a million times, but I still, you know, I'm like, oh, my goodness. So, yeah, it's really cool. Okay. So I've listened to some of y'all's podcast episodes, and I know that you both like to play a little game called Fair or Foul, correct?
Yeah, that's from my own radio show. Yes,
So I thought that we would play a little North Alabama version of that. So how does that sound?
Interesting.
All right. Ricky's played Fair or Foul. Josh has not. What's this?
So check it out, Josh. All right, you're going to be given a scenario. Now, I'm just stepping in here explaining rules to a game that I don't know if I'm typically or if I'm doing this correctly at all. But you're going to be given a scenario, okay, and then asked a question. And then depending on how you feel about it, you say, yeah, okay, fair. Or no, I'm not going to do that. Foul. Is that
okay.
Right? Did I nail that one?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
It's real easy.
I got it from you, so yeah.
Yeah, I know, right? I guess I better know. Did I get that right? Okay.
Okay, so for starters, going to see waterfalls in North Alabama, fair or foul? Because we have a lot of waterfalls here.
Fair. I've been to the Walls of Jericho. Is that a waterfall?
Yeah.
I think there was waterfalling at the time.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But that's like the only one I've been to. I need to explore more waterfalls, but I don't know how. I'm lost. Help me.
I can hook you up on that. Yep.
I would say
I really have been needing that because, like, I'm outdoorsly challenged. I don't know if that's a phrase or a thing, but I don't know where to go. And now finally I have this outlet. This is amazing.
Yes, I can help you.
I would say fair. There's one right in downtown, isn't there? There's a dam not too far from the heart of downtown. I can't think of the name of it. I went over there a couple of winters ago. It was nice.
Yeah.
It's not Walls of Jericho, but yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yep. And there's in the Huntsville area, of course, there's a few at Monsanto State Park. And then there's Bethel Springs, and it's one of the land trust hiking trails. So, yeah, I can hook y'all up with some ideas here. Okay. The next one is a little bit similar. Hiking outdoors. I think we already know the answer to this one, maybe, Ricky. Fair or foul? He wants to say foul.
I'll be honest with you. Okay, so me personally, foul, but my fiance absolutely loves it. She loves being outdoors. She knows where all the waterfalls are. Like, she is, she loves it. So, like, I'm going to have to quickly become Mr. Outdoors as well. The hikes are coming. The waterfalls are coming. So I'm saying foul currently as the the withering bachelor inside of me is still trying to scream out, but I know that I will be hiking very soon. You're going to see me out there. So it will be an eventual fair for me.
Yeah. Maybe wait till it gets a little bit cooler.
Oh, it's pretty hot out there. Yeah.
All right, Josh, what do you think? Hiking outdoors, fair or foul?
Oh, it's fair. I go to Mount Sano with my dog. Not as much anymore because he's getting older, but we would go up there during the winter times about once a week.
Yeah.
Twice a week, something like that. Yeah, they have a bunch of trails up there. So,
okay. There's some really pretty views up there, too.
Oh, you bet.
I need a dog. You know, it seems like having a dog is the gateway to, like, really enjoying the outdoors. I have a cat, and that
thing
is all weird when we get outdoors.
Yeah. Cats do not travel. I have cats, and they do not travel well. Yeah.
Yeah, this cat's turning me into a cat. Now I'm a house cat.
Right.
I need branching out.
Your house cat. I love it. Okay, finally, the North Alabama Craft Beer Trail, fair or foul?
Fair. And I don't know anything about craft beer either, which I think makes it even funner. You know, every taste is a surprise. It's like, oh, what's this? It's a porter, right around 5.6% alcohol. It's very hoppy, a little bit of wheat in there. You might be able to taste some amber notes in there. I'm like, I like it. I don't know.
You're like, I tasted beer. That's what I tasted.
Yeah, I'm a real simpleton.
I drink wine, so I'll say foul.
Ooh. Oh, well, you know what? We have a North Alabama wine trail. So
okay. You're
going to call fair on that one, right?
I'll definitely call fair on that one. I love my wine. You bet.
I will send you all the information. Trust me.
Okay.
Nice. Well, I love it. Thank you so much for playing our modified fair or foul game. And thank you so much for being here. This has been so much fun.
Thank you.
Thanks. This was a good one.
So tell us where our listeners can find the Trash Pandas on social media and how can they find your radio show podcast also?
Okay. For the radio, you can go to 103.9 FM, The Ump, or you can also download the MILB.com app as well to download all the broadcasts as well. Also, all of our home games are on This TV, which is a substation of WAAY 31.6, This TV. You can catch all the ball games there.
Okay, cool. What about social media, Ricky?
Yeah, check out TrashPandasBaseball.com. That's the hub for everything. If you need info, if you got questions about games, if you need tickets, everything is on there. So TrashPandasBaseball.com. But we are very active on social media. So please give us a follow. It's at Trash Pandas. I believe it's at Trash Pandas Baseball on Facebook. I have a feeling if you look up Rocket City Trash Pandas,
you're going to
find us. There's not too many conflicting search results for those four words. So look us up there. We're very active, and I think it's a pretty good follow as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you'll enjoy following the Trash Pandas, trust me. Well, all right. Now you know all the details, so you can get your tickets, you can give them a follow, and all of North Alabama's social platforms are linked in the description. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back next time with more about North Alabama's unexpected adventures. This has been another episode of the Unexpected Adventures in North Alabama podcast, part of the Destination Marketing Podcast Network, hosted by Malia Hames and produced by Relic.